Joined now by David Leonhardt, economics columnist for the New York Times. Morning, David.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And so are a lot of people feeling better, I gather. We just heard that piece about the market. And the president's top economics advisor, Larry Summers, even suggested yesterday stocks may be the sale of the century. Is this what a wise man once called irrational exuberance?
Well, there is some economic rationale to what Summers said yesterday. My favorite measure of the stock market is this long-term price-earnings ratio, which removes a lot of the fictional aspect of price-earnings ratio. It doesn't include forecasts. It's remarkably consistent over history, and it's the average over the century has been about 16, and we're now at about 13, and that means we're below average. Stocks appear to be undervalued. Typically, when stocks have been at about 13, they've done pretty well over the next decade or two. But that's a decade or two is a long time, and during the other two great bear markets of the last century, in the 1930s and early 1980s, that ratio fell all the way to 6 or 7. So while it's true that stocks are cheap, if we follow the same path of other huge recessions and bear markets, they still have a long way to fall before they come roaring back.
Mm. As we noted, financial leaders are already in England laying the groundwork for next month's G20 meeting in London. We'll get to Europe in a second, but let's begin with China's concern. The Chinese premier has really said they're worried about China's holdings in U.S. Treasury bonds.
Yeah, and there's some politics here and some economics. The politics, as you mentioned, is this G20 meeting. The U.S. has not exactly been showering attention on China. In fact, there was a little incident between the U.S. and Chinese navies this week. There was the thing a few weeks ago in which Tim Geithner said that the Chinese are manipulating their currency. Mm-hmm. And so I think this was China reminding the U.S. in the run-up to the G20 that not only are they significant, but arguably China is the most significant country in the world besides the U.S. And the reason for that is the economics. China has lent the U.S. an enormous amount of money over the last decade. It's fueled our consumption boom. It's allowed us to buy all those toys and shoes and things from China. Mm-hmm. And because of the recession, we've now had to go even deeper in debt. And so what China was saying here was, look, you need a plan to repay your debt, because if you don't have one, we're worried about the money we lent you. We're effectively worried about the value of our investment in you. And, you know, when you see this story this morning, you don't think it has anything to do with healthcare, but I actually think this is directly related to healthcare. By far, our biggest long-term budget problem is healthcare. And so in a funny way, you could read that story as the Chinese telling us to get serious about bringing down our healthcare costs.
What are the European countries, as a generalization, hoping to get at the G20 talks?
There's been this tension in the run-up in the meeting between the U.S. and Europe. It doesn't seem to be quite as stark as the tension between the U.S. and the Chinese, but the Europeans want to focus more on the regulation of the financial system and of capitalism after the crisis is over, and the U.S. wants to focus more on stimulating the economy. And I would say that in the short term, the U.S. really is more right than Europe on this, although in the long term, mm-hmm. Europe is right, that we in the U.S. in particular didn't do a good enough job of regulating our economy. And so what the U.S. wants to see is more of a commitment from Europe, the kind of commitment that we've made in this country and that China has made, quite frankly, to stimulate the economy. And we in China probably haven't even gone far enough. The Europeans, and particularly the Germans, it would be really quite nice to see them taking the downturn more seriously and doing more to stimulate their economies.
And finally, Bernie Madoff in the clink this weekend after having admitted his guilt in his role in the Ponzi scheme that left so many people devastated. But there's still a lot of questions, aren't there, about if anyone else was involved and is there any money to be recovered?
Yeah, I think there are two big questions. One is the one you just mentioned. Is anyone else involved? It just strains credibility that no one else was. It's hard to imagine Bernie Madoff staying up at night typing up these fake investment returns. And the second is, what lesson do we take? I mean, I said the Europeans are wrong on stimulus, but they're right on regulation. We could have caught Bernie Madoff, and we didn't. And so what you really have to hope going forward is that we have people in Washington who take claims of fraud more seriously. There were people who came forward and accused Bernie Madoff of fraud, and they were ignored. And let's hope that doesn't happen again.
David Leonhardt, economics columnist for the New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.